Welcome to Monster Men.
Arr, Merry Christmas, you bastards.
All right. We've been on and off doing shows. Now we're experimenting with StreamYard. And today we're going to do a little topic that you and I have talked about on and off. And you're whenever we go to Chiller, you buy movies, like physical media.
Yep. Because I don't trust those streaming services.
That's it. Well, like I heard a rumor that Disney Plus is going to merge into Hulu. I don't know if this is true or not, but that the Star Wars and Marvel stuff isn't drawing them in like it was. Mm-hmm. And shocker. So they might be. I have no official. I just heard this on the streets.
I heard a rumor. I wrote it down, and then I read it, and I heard it.
And now people will be like, "I heard."
I hear it going to the Tubi.
But like you know, HBO became HBO Max, and now it's Max, and they're merged with Discovery and all this other stuff. And it's just going to keep merging. Netflix. I can't log into Netflix from my parents' house because of the IP.
To prevent you from even taking your account somewhere else.
Right, like I want to watch a movie at my mom's house. Nope, your primary residence is the only place you can watch this, or on That's your computer. Yeah. So if I brought my computer over, I could watch it because it knows my IP address. But
right,
it'll say, "Are you visiting?" And so you can do it like temporarily. Whereas like HBO and Disney and them, you have like four or five logins that, you know, you could have your kids or relatives.
The thing is, if I'm paying for this, and if I'm going, say I'm going away to a cabin in the Maine for a month.
Right.
You can tell me I can't watch what I pay for a month just because I changed my locale.
Well, that's it. When I go to Morgan's, he lives in one state and he's got the mountain place.
Yeah.
Where we watched Evil Dead 2 in his cabin in the woods. It was one of the greatest things we ever did. Nate Fleckniffle would be like, "Nope, you can't do that anymore."
Well,
and I'm they raised their price.
Yeah. I canceled them last year, so I feel good.
So I'm going to start. What I wanted to do was just grab a few Blu-rays, DVDs that you have, and why did you buy that one? And, you know, to talk about it a little bit. We don't have to go through our entire collections. But
like, this is what I have to do to justify spending money when I come home. Yeah. Why did you buy that? It's on Hulu.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm going to start because maybe the last 2 months ago or something, I watched Dr. Sleep, which I bought. And the reason I bought this was as soon as it came out, they have a director's cut on this.
I have it too. I don't think I've watched it yet. Is it longer?
It's longer. And there are certain spots where you will notice. You're like, "Hey, wait a minute. I don't remember that." Mm-hmm. And there's other stuff that if you go back, like there's a video that shows you and you're like, "Oh yeah, it explains a couple of things." I don't feel the fatigue of watching. It's a pretty long movie to begin with. And
that's so good.
It's like my preferred version to watch is the director's cut. And I really like this movie. I don't like it as much as The Shining, but this is probably one of those ones, a good, like, watch it once a year kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Or 2 years.
Or 2 years, yeah. Whereas, like, I watch The Shining, like, whenever I see it on TV or
yeah,
whatever.
Exactly. It's not the same obsession.
Like, this is one that I don't want to... Number one, I don't even know where it's streaming. It's probably on Amazon, but I probably have to pay, like, $4 or $5 to watch it.
I'm noticing that more and more. Like, the stuff I want to watch is now behind a paywall, or it's on like Freebie, which Freebie is great. Hey, in an hour and a half movie, you also get to watch an hour and a half of commercials.
Right.
Which is, it's unwatchable. Can't do
even Tubi's great, but Tubi's got ads. So it's, yeah. Tubi probably adds what, 10, 15 minutes to it?
I just watched a movie on Tubi last night, and I'm like, "Oh, that's got to be the end." And then it hits me with an ad break, like, you know, one of five. I'm like, "Oh, I guess there's more." And when it came back to credits.
Oh.
If there was a man named Tubi, I would have punched his lights out last night.
That's low, man.
The movie was good, though. I'll give that credit.
Tubi's the least of my complaints, because I'm willing, for what they give me, I can bear the ads, and they tell you how many ads and how long. Yep. So if you need to go run, a perfect example is if you're watching a movie at like 11 o'clock at night and you get like, there's going to be six ads. You're like, I could go brush my teeth right now and get back in time for the movie.
Exactly. I do my late night enema.
Yeah.
And I'm back in front of the tube.
So what do you got? Give me one.
All right. Here I got this one. This package here, the It's Alive trilogy.
Oh, nice.
This was a Christmas present. It's upside down. This is a Christmas present from my better half a few years ago. A lot of people know that about It's Alive. Surprisingly, people don't know that it's a trilogy. A lot of people remember It's Alive 1 and 2, which take place pretty much one right after the other. Nobody knows about Part 3, which is so bonkers and off the wall that you generally can't find it anywhere. And I don't know. These are movies. What the hell is in here? There's a copy of Highlander.
Oh, my God. Did Jason Brandt give that to you?
I don't know how the hell that got in there. But again, these are the kind of movies I don't get to see usually on streaming channels. I love these movies. I love Larry Cohen movies. So I would love to own every one of them. So I don't ever have to worry. My concern is always, yeah, it's on Amazon right now. But then when they lose the license to it, is anyone going to pick it up? Do I have to wait 5 years? Like, so I try to collect movies that are things I want to watch a lot.
Yeah.
Unless they're cryptid movies. It's just things I just got to have. But there's not a lot of special features on this. But the special feature is that I have all three. And I can watch them whenever I want. And if anyone wants to watch Island of the Alive, which is batshit crazy, you got to come to my house.
I think when I come over, that's what I'm going to do.
You're going to be like, what? It's a worthy what, though?
Well, along the lines of what you were just saying, I don't buy a ton of physical media anymore, but I'm starting to again because of what you just said.
A lot of people are. They're buying DVDs. They're buying CDs of music now.
See, I never stopped buying CDs. I just don't listen to as much music anymore, so I'm fine. But when an album comes out that I want, my car is old enough that I have a CD player in it.
Oh, I wish I did.
But yeah, like, I'm not going to pay for Spotify.
No, I have Spotify, but the free version.
Yeah, I can deal with the ads. So I bought like American Werewolf in London, Hereditary, and like Trick or Treat, all like when I saw them on sale for like great prices.
Oh, God. Like some of like Midsommar, I bought and Hereditary for $5 each on Blu-ray.
Hmm.
I think it was Chad that
told us. Hereditary, I think, was the one I got for $5.
Yeah.
So a guy I work with knows I love The Shining, and I was talking about Dr. Sleep just now. I just bought The Shining 4K.
Oh, you have a 4K. Do you need a 4K player?
You need a 4K player, TV, and HDMI, which when I bought the player, I don't know if it came with them or if I had to buy them, but
yeah,
I double checked to make sure. Cause like, am I watching this thinking I'm in 4K? But, and I couldn't tell you the difference.
Oh, the difference. Yeah. There you go.
I can't, I just was like, let me just get the, but so I mean, I just got this a few weeks ago. I haven't actually watched the movie yet, but I've watched a bunch of the extras, and there's a long like documentary on this that I want to watch. Because I've never sat down and watched that Room 237 documentary. I watched like 5 minutes of it and was like, I don't think I can sit through this.
It's tough.
But watching like official stuff with behind the scenes from The Shining, I'm like, yeah, I want to see this. So I already learned something cool about The Shining from this was the scene in the hedge maze. The initial one where they're not the chase. When Danny and the mother are just walking through it at the beginning. They use like a special camera that's on the ground and it kind of the way that it made everything look bigger.
Right. That's cool.
And then the whole thing where like Jack looks at the maze, the replica, and then he sees that like it zooms in. Like, back then, that was like super difficult to do. And they're like, how did they do that? They did the, and you're like, My God, now that's like the easiest thing.
Hey, how did Stanley Kubrick shoot the best space scenes ever in 1967 and no one's gotten any better? That guy was on another level. I have a copy. I have a DVD copy of The Shining that has the kind of unofficial documentary that Kubrick's daughter, I think, was shooting behind the scenes. And it's literally watching Jack go crazy behind the scenes and Shelley Duvall breaking down bit by bit by bit. I'm like, this is tough to watch. But see?
You know what? That's on this. That's on this. That's the thing I still haven't watched yet.
Oh, you're going to like that.
Vivian Kubrick.
I've only watched it once because, like, wow, this is uncomfortable. But I'm glad I saw it.
I think there's even commentary on it. I felt like this is one of those ones that the extras are going to be that thing where, like, oh, what should I do? You know what? Let me go through and find that. And Annette, if there's ever a day where I can't watch The Shining, I'm going to be pissed.
Well, if there's an EMP burst, doesn't matter what you have. It's all good.
Yeah, that's true.
Unless you're going to hardwire your electrical grid and get a generator, which these are serious things I'm thinking of doing. Like, I'm like looking around this new place that we have and going, I got to hardwire the electrics. I got to get a generator. I got to get gas. I got to get food. I'm like prepping for the end.
You know, where you are now, a generator is not a bad idea.
Nope, definitely not. All right, mine. Now, usually I buy crap from Vinegar Syndrome and enjoy my crap.
Yes.
Sometimes I buy something good like Boggy Creek 2 that I got up here. But this was, I forget where it was Vinegar Syndrome table, but I got this box set of Reanimator.
Oh, you have that?
Yeah. This thing is so cool. This just reminds me of like albums back in the day. You open it up and you've got multiple discs. You've got little pockets everywhere. The best part about this is the Reanimator comic book.
Nice.
That comes with it. This was the reason why I bought it. As the comic book fan, I needed this.
I got to get one of those.
It is, and it's stellar. Like the craft in this is amazing. Let's see, what else do I have? I have Reanimator like postcards.
Wow.
Bunch of postcards in here. And then there is, this is the kind of like the behind the scenes stuff like that, kind of like write-ups on everything that was going on making the movie.
You know, my family will ask me what I want for Christmas, and they're great. I love them so much, but
another Polish shirt.
Go to Vinegar Syndrome and get me the Reanimator box set. They wouldn't even understand the words that just came out of my mouth.
What? He wants a box? Get him a box. He said he wants a box. I don't know why. A set of boxes. Now I can't get the comic book back in. I'll figure it out later.
You know, this is getting me. This could be a series of podcasts we do, because I have one something similar to that I don't have with me, but future episode, I'll pull it out and show.
I have there's the integral version, which don't hear that word very often. And then there is the unrated version, which I have yet to watch the unrated version.
Oh, see, that would have been the first thing I did, was watch the unrated version.
Could there be more Barbara Lingus? I don't know. But I'll find out someday. It's a treat. But this is, I don't buy many like special box sets, but I love Reanimator. And I think it was only $40.
If there's an alternate version of the movie, especially if it's longer, I usually want to see it. Like the Lord of the Rings movies, I bought all the theatrical versions and then I bought all the extended, because I was I couldn't get enough of how well they adapted those movies. And I wanted to see what they added and what they still chose to leave out and everything. Right. It was fascinating.
Do you want me to get you the extended versions of The Hobbit?
Oh my God.
Or a shortened version. Hey, it's an hour and 5 minute version.
You know, I don't like the Star Wars prequels, but then I saw The Hobbit and I was like, well, the Lord of the Rings prequels are worse than the Star Wars prequels.
Oof, that's terrible. But are they better than the Marvels?
I don't know. I've not seen the Marvels, but I got to tell you something. Because of like just social, I saw like Black Adam in the theater, which was awful. But my friend was like, hey, we were like out having dinner or something. He's like, want to go see Black Adam? I was like, not really. It's playing right there. All right.
I just said no.
The Marvels, have you seen the trailer for Aquaman, the new one?
Oh, it looks awful.
I mean, that looks... And the Blue Beetle that came out, I mean, I don't know. I didn't see that either.
But Aquaman physically looks terrible.
Physically looks...
The animation is... All underwater is gray. Oh. That's it. My wife was like... And she doesn't like those movies, but she likes Jason Momoa. She never saw the first Aquaman. But we saw this in... When we went to see Thanksgiving, she goes, would you take me to see this? Like, in such a nice, innocent way, I'm like, okay. I want to go see Godzilla Minus Zero or whatever.
I saw it, and I will tell you about it on the next Final Guys.
I hope to tell you about it on the next Final Guys. So,
I will tell you this. Go see it.
Yeah, it's in the theater right by me. So, hopefully after this.
All right. Another one that I just bought. I don't know what the heck happened. Maybe I was surfing and I saw it for a price, or maybe the movie was just on my mind, or I heard it mentioned on a podcast, but I just got Session 9 on.
Oh, you love that movie.
I love this movie. And you know, part of the reason I love this movie is because I snuck up to the abandoned hospital that this was filmed in years ago with my buddy. And then we saw a car come and we ran away because we didn't want to get arrested.
I'm too pretty to go to jail.
But I did try a door and everything like that. And Morgan's been inside it and everything.
Before it closed?
No, when it was abandoned. But
I figured maybe he spent some time.
There's no tuberculosis.
By the way, I have Morgan as a character in a story I'm writing on Patreon right now.
Oh, nice.
He's a owner of a bookstore, a ruddy-faced, interesting dude.
So this is another one that, like, I'm like, I want to be able to watch this movie anytime I want.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I watch it, I appreciate it more.
Right.
This is worth the price of purchase for the extras.
Really?
Because, number one, like, there's some pretty good stuff about the making of the movie, and they even, like, the guy's talking about the building, and, like, one guy's like, yeah, I was up on the roof, and suddenly, it felt like there was something telling me to jump off the roof, and for a second, I had to get off, and Caruso was like, that place was screwed up, whatever. But, so that documentary or the extras are really interesting, but then there's this, I don't know if it's like a YouTuber guy or something that goes to different locations that horror movies were filmed at.
Mm-hmm.
And so it starts with him at, it's now like luxury condos, but they kept the facades of some of the walls.
Right.
And he's like, I don't know who would buy a condo here, but they're like beautiful. But like the graveyard from the movie is still over this hill. And, you know, the main wall is still here and everything. And so he walks around and shows you, but then he goes, so years ago when it was still built and locked up, I came here and snuck in with my friends, and basically, whereas I walked up and tried a door, and this was like before cell phones, so I didn't even have a cell phone light.
Right.
So if I was able to open the door, I would have like took one step in to say that I went inside, but I wouldn't have, it would have been pitch black, and I would have been like, there's other people inside here. I could
picture you like Abbott and Costello, like, check, check.
Yeah. Like, oh crap, it's open. Like,
flopping your hat.
We went there to go in, and our worst nightmare would have been if the door was unlocked. So anyway, this guy, he's like, we climbed up onto the roof and went in through a door in the roof, and then it's him and his buddies with the camera and flashlights, and they go around and they find the spots from the movies, and at one point they're like, shh. The security guards are driving around. We got to be quiet. And I'm like, that happened to me. Like, we were walking around a corner and a car came and we had to hide.
Yeah.
And then my friend was like,
went in.
It never occurred to me to try and climb up onto the roof.
No, if with my luck, I would make it to the roof, then fall through the roof to my death,
mm-hmm.
which happened at that hospital, Portchester Hospital.
Oh, wow.
Remember how that was closed for forever? Now they're making luxury apartments there. But somebody went up there a few years ago and fell through an elevator shaft.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Some days you get the elevator. Some days you get the shaft.
They definitely got shafted.
So anyway, that's one of the best extras I've ever seen on a Blu-ray or DVD in my life. So,
and you have a connection.
And I have a connection to it.
So, I like that. All right. Now, you know, horror movies were being pumped out fast and furiously from the silent era, actually, until now. But a lot of those old movies are gone. You can't find them in any streaming place. You can't even find references to them in books. So that's why I like buying things like this.
Oh.
Horror classics. Most of these movies are an hour long, but they are old. The transfers on some of these are terrible. But, I mean, there are 8 discs in here or whatever. I just love this because if I'm looking for something that, you know, nobody's ever heard of, I want a quick horror fix or just a little bit of knowledge in horror history, right? Yeah. I can pull these up. You cannot find, and I've looked, most of these movies anywhere. They don't exist. So picking up collections like this, I have a few of them. It's kind of like you're holding on to a little bit of history.
I don't know if I've ever actually seen all of Phantom of the Opera from start to finish. I don't think I have. I've only seen scenes from it in other things.
Well, it's on here, as is your favorite Nosferatu.
I've seen that a couple of times. Oh my God, have you seen the pictures from the new one?
Yes.
Robert Eggers, that's kind next Christmas? That. Yeah, looks good.
This does have The Last Man on Earth, speaking of Morgan earlier, but it also has The Last Woman on Earth, which is from, I think, the 60s, if I'm correct. I mean, you got classics, Vampire, Bat, White Zombie, but then you have Tormented and The Gorilla, Indestructible Man.
Wow.
The Ape, Adam Age Vampire. I mean, some real schlock. I don't give a crap. I love the schlock. So but I don't know if you can find this anywhere.
Watching stuff like that is what makes you legit in the horror podcast world, because when you... to take our mantle as the two old guys on the Muppets, when you listen to other podcasts and they have no clue as to anything that came before Scream.
What, you never saw Dementia 13? You know what? I'm gonna keep this out. I might watch one or two the next couple of days.
So my next one. I had this on DVD. And it was broken into two parts because it was actually a mini series for TV, 2-night event. That, when in doubt, I would just put in part 2 because that's where all like the really good stuff happens. But there's some real key stuff in part 1 that I was like, this 2-disc thing is annoying. So
I don't want to get up and put a second.
Yes. I got Salem's Lot on Blu-ray.
I knew that's where you were going.
But the bonus for getting this, and I haven't listened to it yet, but I'm gonna someday when I'm working from home or something, I'm just gonna plop in front of the TV so I don't really have to look up.
Right.
There's a director's commentary by Toby Hooper.
Oh.
That was like, oh my God, that's awesome. So
that'd be really cool. I wonder if he was high when he did it.
I listened to like the first few seconds of it, and he kind of sounds like really gruff.
Yeah.
Smoking
while I'm talking.
But I'll tell you, this is another one that, like, I think there's a line of like people who have seen this and people who have never seen it because of the age. I think, like, if you're like, I don't know, it's like over 40, maybe 45, like, everybody has seen this and terrified them and whatever. And then there's like younger than that are like, yeah, I've seen like scenes from it or whatever, but I've never really watched it.
They've seen the window scene.
Yeah.
That's what they know of it. Do you have, now that makes sense that you have that. You are the vampire enthusiast. And that's a great vampire. Do you have the Salem's Lot, Return to Salem's Lot?
No, I saw that once. Me and Morgan rented that a long time ago. And we were like, what the hell is this movie?
There was like this star.
Michael Moriarty's in that.
Oh, he's the star of the third part of It's Alive.
Moriarty. We used to do man or woman of the month when we lived together. We used to be roommates. And like Anthony Hopkins won it. David Hasselhoff won it. Shannon Tweed won it.
6 months running.
Yeah. And Moriarty won it a couple of times because he was just like, oh my God, how many Moriarty movies did we watch this month?
He brought, I don't know if he's still around, but he brought a little something special to everything he did.
There's a scene in that movie. I need to watch that again. So the Salem, Return to Salem's Lot is basically like, it's almost like I Am Legend in that the lot becomes like a society of vampires.
Right.
And they have like a school and all that. Like it's...
What's vampire school?
And if I remember correctly, there's a scene like where a vampire comes up out of a coffin. And I remember like thinking that, like, did they just inflate a vampire shaped balloon or something like that? That's like...
Yeah, they might have. It's one of those inflatables that people have in front of their houses now for Christmas and Halloween. But,
I haven't seen it since the 90s. So
I've never seen it. So I'll leave that to you.
I do have the Rob Lowe miniseries on DVD because when we did the Shining miniseries for Final Guys,
yeah,
I bought it off eBay. It. Yeah, so it had the original It miniseries, The Shining, and Salem's Lot. I've only watched The Shining for the show.
Yeah, yeah. I was looking at that. Going, oh my God, what a weird package of crap movies. They were defying anyone to buy it, and you got it.
I got that for like $10, I think.
That's enough. You overcharged by $9.
Yes.
Sometimes when you're walking around at a convention or tooling around online, you see a movie where you go, I have to have it. It's something that maybe it's a childhood love. For me, it was Saturn 3.
Oh, wow.
That I picked
Farrah Fawcett Majors?
That is Farrah Fawcett, baby, and Kirk Douglas.
God, I haven't seen that since it came out.
And Harvey Keitel.
Wow.
So I, as a kid, I loved this movie and I don't see this anywhere. I've never seen a physical copy of it anywhere other than the video store, like the VHS tape. So when I saw this, I bought it immediately. I'm like, I don't care if it's $100, I'm going to buy it. And I'll tell my wife I got it for $25, but luckily it wasn't. This is just the movie that I have to have. It's a piece of my preteen, early teen growing up. My obsession with robots, because the robot from Lost in Space, Robbie the Robot, Vincent and Maximilian from
The Black Hole.
And then this robot called Hector.
Hector.
And the comely Farrah Fawcett, who is absolutely gorgeous in this. Kirk Douglas, if you ever want to see him in his 60s naked, this is your movie.
Oh, nice.
Harvey Keitel sporting a big-ass rat tail ponytail, and he's the guy who builds the killer robot Hector. So, and it's not perfect. You can find websites dedicated to the disaster that was the making of this movie. Damn, I still get little like tingles when I see this.
I gotta watch that. I haven't seen that since it was like HBO when I first got HBO.
So you gotta come here one day, like leave on a Friday, and then Friday night all through, it's just drinking, watching movies like this, and occasionally filming Monster Men. And then we're good to go.
That sounds good to me, man. Maybe January.
I love it. We do it.
I got an idea. I come down Friday. We do horror Friday night, Saturday, Sunday, watch like a football game, and then I take off.
Done. Sealed in. The loft is set aside right now. They're putting in the velvet rope.
Nice. All right. I'm going to talk about one, and I'm just going to quickly mention another one, and then I'm done.
But that would make it 6.
All right, then I'm only going to bring up this one.
Oh my God, I almost grabbed that today.
I bought the Poughkeepsie tapes because, and now I think it's on Shudder.
Yes. There we go.
I had to have this movie so that I could just pop it in whenever I want. I love this movie.
This says something about us that we really gravitate to this movie because this movie is disturbing as hell.
It is disturbing. There's not a lot of movies that really get under me, under my skin. This one has so many moments where I'm just like, oh my God, that's horrifying.
I mean, look at that poor woman.
Yes.
I took my daughter to see this movie in the theater for a special screening, and when she walked out, she goes, why? Why did you take me to this? It was like all her worst fears in a movie.
Chad Lusky hates this movie.
Well, I don't understand why. There's great character development, fantastic cinematography.
Now, one of the things that makes this Blu-ray great is, I don't know if you've watched it, but there's an interview with the guy who made the movie, and he talks about how like they made it, and then it got shelved, and then it got like leaked and everything. And he's just like, you know, I can't believe like that it came back. Like,
it was like the thing you had to find online.
Yeah.
With the Kipsey tapes. And YouTube has a terrible copy of it.
How I first saw it. I watched like the YouTube version. I was like, it's there and it's not going to get pulled down before I finish.
That and The Last Broadcast. Those are the two, like the lost, and maybe the McPherson tape. Those are the lost ones that you can find shitty transfers on YouTube.
And like I said, it's on Shudder now, but I was just like, nah, this is one I want to have. Because every once in a while, it's just like, what should I want? Yeah, I think it's time for a Poughkeepsie tape.
Whenever I want to capture somebody and torture them in my basement.
Oh, yeah. It's just so wrong. But really there's bad. So many, like, you know, best found footage lists that just have all the usual suspects. And you're like, how is this not on your, like, top five? Like, it's...
I think it makes people feel so icky, they just like to distance themselves from it. Honestly, because, I mean, we're pretty hardcore, and this and Megan is missing make us just go,
yes.
And Martyrs. Like, there's a handful where you just go, why?
Nothing can prepare you for the end of Megan is missing.
God, especially if you have daughters. It's terrible. All right, well, I'm going to go with the movie that sometimes you buy it, because you feel like, oh, this is going to be great. And then you realize, wow, this is terrible. But at least I own it. This was Slithus.
I have never seen that, but I've seen that box.
I thought this was like, you know, the cat's ass back in the day, like 1980 or whatever. But my friend Norm, when we went to Chiller, we came here, we put on Slithus. And I was like, holy crap, this is terrible. Like, it's kind of like a sea creature coming out of the canals in, I think it's either Florida or LA. I forget where. It doesn't make a difference. It's funny to watch all like the kind of late 70s style of clothes. In fact, the main character is a professor, a college professor. He wears a different coat every time. I'm like, this guy, he must have a whole house dedicated to coats. Not much happens in it. Until the very end, and it's very like, please just save me, get me out of here. I think Norm fell asleep. I think I fell asleep too. But somebody, Linda Gross at the LA Times says, Slithus looks like Godzilla warmed over. That's probably the best you could say about this rubber student movie. But I have it. It's a thing like Without Warning. That's another like really crappy movie that was a big deal when I was a kid. So I like
that. I remember that movie fondly.
Yeah.
I remember watching that when I was a kid, whatever. And then I watched it with you at your house, and I was like, wow, I don't remember like 2/3 of this movie.
Oh, poor Larry Storch.
Larry Storch.
What a cast. Like, Slithus has no cast. But you got the Carradine. No, not Carradine. I am drawing.
Martin Landau in that?
Martin Landau's in it. And... you are not a god.
Oh, was that Jack Palance?
Jack Palance. Thank you. So, yeah, you got
you. I mean, number one. A god.
So, yeah, that you had, and Larry Storch as a Boy Scout troop leader or something. Weird. So bad. But I also like to know that I have bad movies too. Because sometimes a bad movie is a lot of fun.
That's what I don't have a ton of, is because I really stopped like buying a lot of Blu-rays and stuff. And now I'm kind of like, maybe I should. But so I'm on the fence because you just moved. And so you had to move all that stuff.
Yeah. Well, this was the easy part. These are light.
Yeah.
The books killed me. This was easy. But look, as many crappy movies as I get, if I go buy from Vinegar Syndrome every day, I'll still have less crap in my house than Jason Brandt.
Oh, yeah.
He is going to eventually, he will smother under a pile of crappy movies. And then people just go, what was with this dude? Like, people outside of the So Bad It's Good realm. This guy had the worst taste.
God bless him.
All right, we can go on and on because we got on.
I'm not even going to pull up the other one I was going to talk about. I'm going to save that. Nope.
Pull it out.
All right. The only thing I was going to say is this. Every friggin' time the format changes from VHS to DVD to 3D, some other thing, whatever.
4K.
I end up getting, I've bought Jaws like 14 times. This is the 4K.
It's crazy, man.
So I just wanted to mention that the first 4K I bought was Jaws. And there's an awesome documentary on here, The Shark Is Broken, which inspired a play, which I saw.
Yeah,
I think is on all the other, is on at least one of the other ones I have. But the actual, you, if you can go on YouTube and you can see the restoration they did to Jaws, it's amazing. Like they improved the picture quality on a lot of stuff and everything.
Hey, we know, we saw it in 3D.
That was amazing.
And how did that look?
Amazing.
Best 3D I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Hands down. Without being hokey and gimmicky, because it wasn't meant to be a 3D movie.
All right, so we can stop there, unless you want to throw one more.
No, I'm good. There's a million behind me. There's no point. Okay.
All right, so we'll pick this up some other time. But
yeah, we it's got Christmas a lot of time. I think we need next time to talk about Christmas movies.
We'll talk about Christmas.
There we go. All right. Ho, 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 you bastard.
Merry Christmas, you filthy animals. All right, that's it for now. We'll see you next time on
Monster Men.